Yo, what is up, chumps? This is the Fantasy Chump Podcast. Joining me, as always, with Layton. That I forgot to introduce myself there, but joining me as always is John and Nate. Boys, how are you doing today? I'm going to ask Nate first because I'm mad at John.
You're not mad at me for anything?
It's a little less mad. It's like a petty mad.
Understand. Yeah, well, I'm doing good. Just happy to be here. Happy to do a little draft recap with y'all. Got a lot to talk about.
I know. Got to bust our food. John, how are you doing?
Glad you're back and joining us, Layton. We missed you.
Yeah, I missed you guys too.
I'm fantastic. It was a great draft. There were some moments where I was a little unsure of some of my picks this past weekend, but it's nice to log in and just see the abundance of talent, especially like, I don't know. I just feel like those third round picks, you know, kind of the mid to the back of the third round, there's just a lot of guys there that you can snag from other people. So like, I just happened to pick ETN and Michael Pittman and yeah. So it's a great feeling. How do you feel about your draft?
Me or Nate?
Yeah. No, you.
Me?
Layton,
oh, yeah. Me? Yeah. No, it was
it
really
went pretty
good.
Well for you, right?
It did in the first two rounds. So today we're going to recap our main league draft. And we also did a rookie dynasty this past weekend. So we're just going to kind of talk about those things that stood out so you guys can take that into your draft, because we drafted a little early. And so hopefully these tips will help you out. First one is don't trust John, but that's okay. We already knew that. So
it's great advice. All those Johns out there, they're a menace.
Every single watch John, out for him. Besides my dad, it's a menace.
Of course.
Yeah. But basically what John's talking about is John in the third round. I took Kamara and DeAndre Swift first two rounds, delighted at that. And then I was like, okay, I can't wait to get either Michael Pittman or Travis Etienne. I was thinking both might be great. And then John comes around and he just smacks me and tells me to sit down, little boy, and he drafted both of those. So I honestly didn't know what to do. Haven't had that feeling in a while. So, yeah, it was great. So just kind of overall thoughts. I'll go with Nate. Nate, what was your, like, over – what was the big takeaway you had from our main league draft? We'll start with that one first.
Well, personally speaking, this is a very different draft for me. I had never had to plan around picks not being there. And that was something I did to myself. John and I made a trade at the end of last season when I went all in on my season, and John kind of bowed out and stocked up some draft capital for this year. I traded away my third round pick to him. And so, I mean, you all know that I was doing a lot of mock drafts and stuff, and that was just something that helped in preparing for that, knowing what I was missing out on and how I kind of needed to counteract that, some of the talent that I was going to miss out on, and definitely a lot of running back talent went in the third round, which I missed out on. So would not advise trading away any third, fourth, second round picks if you can help it. Probably won't be doing that ever again, but that was hard. And I, even though I'd prepared a lot for it, it still didn't, it didn't fully prepare me mentally for what was going to happen. And I feel like it's always hard to prepare for our draft in this league. There's always some picks that don't make a lot of sense and kind of have you scratching your head and honestly reevaluating your whole strategy going forward. I can say for myself, there were a few players that I was kind of banking on being there in the later rounds that went to three rounds earlier than I thought they would be. And so that kind of threw me for a loop and just had to
adapt.
Some
even five rounds earlier.
Exactly. But
yeah,
overall it went okay. There were a few things that I was I'm still a little I have some discomfort with on my roster, but I think I have some pieces to maybe get lucky and make the playoffs or something. We'll see. But it's a long season. Can't win it on the draft day. You can definitely lose it, though.
That's true. John, do you kind of echo those same sentiments, or what kind of stood out to you the most?
Yeah, there were some big surprises, and we'll get into that a little bit later on the specifics of them. I would say that it seems like there's a cluster of guys that I'm so indifferent about, that, you know, and again, this isn't normal for most people, but me having 3 third round picks, it gave me the ability to reach a little further on some guys that I thought maybe had a higher floor than others. And I know that I've talked about Pittman and Etienne, but I don't know. Etienne felt a little bit early to be taking in the third round, but again, I felt more sure with that.
You shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, I probably should have let that one slide. I know that you would have been much happier if I would have. I think, like, Nate kind of hit it. There were some guys that we expected to be there later on in the draft, like when you're getting down to the 12th and 13th round, that really weren't there. They went much earlier. I never thought in a million years that I would have drafted, I think his name's Tyler Algier.
From the Falcons, yeah.
I own the entire Falcons offense. I didn't think that was going to happen either, but, you know, there's always surprises. I also didn't think that I'd come away with Kyler Murray at quarterback. I even though I had the abundance of picks, I thought that I'd wait on that, but it just kind of worked out. So, yeah, definitely some surprises. And I really, truthfully, didn't know who I was going to take at number one until like 2 or 3 minutes before the draft. So,
which is kind of shocking to me.
Yeah, I mean, looking back on it, I'm very happy that I went with McCaffrey rather than Jonathan Taylor. But it was very difficult to pass on JT. It just was. I mean, it's still scary, but I feel like you have to go with McCaffrey's upside.
No, I
think that was a great pick.
I definitely agree. I think the biggest surprise for me is the fact that I feel like we had a lot of it wasn't what I used to, because I'm used to in our, you know, like friend and family league that people say, I'm used to quarterbacks going really early for some reason in like other random positions, just not. So this year it was different because Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews went in the middle of the second round, and that shocked me. And then not a single one was taken until like the, you know, 5th or 6th round. But quarterbacks kind of waited a long way too. Like, we didn't have a first quarterback taken until the 5th round, and I feel like that almost never happens for us.
Mm-hmm. I started thinking about that a little bit too. Yeah, Mahomes was the first one off the board at the turn of the 4th round.
Sorry.
Or early 4th.
Yeah, you're right.
But no, I thought that was kind of weird. This was something that maybe you guys were thinking about this when you were doing your draft preparation and everything. I wasn't. But do you think that we've all noticed that the quarterback, some of the upper quarterback ADPs were a little bit lower. Like, I want to say Patrick Mahomes went at the very beginning of like the 3rd round, early 2nd or late 2nd last year or something, or Josh Allen did. And is that because that first cliff or the cliff of the first tier, there's just more quarterbacks in that elite tier now that it doesn't make the quarterback position as valuable? Or at least drafting an early quarterback is valuable as important.
No, I get what you're saying, because I agree, because I think with, you know, the rising, I would say, of, you know, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, you know, I'm probably missing somebody too, but with all those guys, you know, just being better and not really a ton of like upper tier fantasy quarterbacks like falling off recently. Mm-hmm. I think just those additions have made it, you know, you could even say Josh Allen has, you know, gone up high. And I just think all those additions without many subtractions has made it so quarterback rich and heavy. that a lot of people are like, well, you know, why don't I draft Josh Allen in the third or fourth round when I can get Lamar Jackson in the seventh or eighth, right? Mm-hmm. So, John, wouldn't you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and I think people are starting to understand the concept of streaming quarterbacks isn't exactly the worst thing. Like, when you reach for a quarterback, you just limit yourself at an incredible pace compared to all the other teams. So, I think people are getting smarter, and I don't know. I mean, even with the AFC West, like, if you talk about Derek Carr, who is not one of the top guys that I want to have starting for me, but in a week that they're playing, I don't know, I guess the weakest defensive team other than the Raiders in our division is, on paper, it's probably the Chiefs, but the Broncos might be in contention for that. But right now, as it stands, it's the Chiefs. Like, Raiders Chiefs, that's going to be an air raid game, yeah. Especially if it's in Vegas. So, again, you know, people get better at fantasy and they understand better that the quarterback position is very deep, and so that definitely has an impact.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. Like, Nate, was that? I don't think I was the only one between, you know, us three that was surprised. You know, obviously when Kelce went off the board, I was like, okay, I kind of anticipate that. A bunch of Chiefs fans for the most part. And then when Mark Andrews went right after him, that was shocking to me. Because, John, I think because you had back-to-back picks at the turn, you were contemplating taking him up there, weren't you?
Yeah, just because of the positional value, you know, and having the additional picks changes your mindset for drafting. And I'm not going to just try to continually bring it up, but that was the main reason that I thought I could take either of those guys at the turn, either Kelce or Andrews, yes.
But you wouldn't have if you didn't have those extra ones?
At the turn, I feel like it's a little bit early because...
Even though you probably won't get either one back, like there's probably zero chance you get...
I mean, like passing on Deebo and CeeDee Lamb, even if you don't get ETN later on in that round, I still got Breece Hall. So...
Yeah.
And granted, you know, you don't know that at those picks, but CeeDee and Deebo, I feel like, are just – they're too good of options to pass on in those picks for – especially, like – I shouldn't say especially. I'm fading Kelce slightly, but
– Fake fan.
Yeah, it's tough. Anyways.
Yeah. No, I agree. Nate, is there anything else that kind of comes to mind besides, you know, what we touched on and the fact that running backs – continually go earlier than in most ADP, you know, mock drafts that you do?
Yeah, I mean, in the first 2-3 rounds, I mean, we saw a lot of running backs fly off the board, which I think you could anticipate just because we played in this league for a couple of years now. We kind of know people's tendencies. I think doing mock drafts, that seemed to be the tendency just of the general population, is always kind of trying to shore up the running back position, get ahead of that kind of cliffs in the first couple tiers or so. So I wasn't totally surprised there. I actually thought overall, looking back on the first four rounds, it was fairly balanced between some of the wide receivers that got picked. With the tight ends there, I was surprised that they went with that route instead of some of the running backs that were still available, as well as some of the receivers that were still available. I honestly think there were a few shocks as far as like individual picks go, but looking back on it, I'm looking at the board right now. It didn't seem to be a ton of surprises to me. I would say the main thing for me was, I think I already kind of alluded to this. This was one of the first years that I kind of utilized the tier system with positions. I mainly pinned it down to running backs. I felt that the wide receiver class was very deep this year. So really up through the first eight rounds, I had a lot of guys that I was comfortable with. There were a few that I was kind of indifferent on, a couple that I really wanted to steer clear of. But generally speaking, I was comfortable with a lot of them and was going to take, you know, maybe one of the first three that were left as best available when it came to my turn. But running backs especially, I felt that there were a lot of tiers. There were a few times where tiers were skipped a little bit, which kind of made me wonder. I don't hate the player. I'm not saying I hate the pick, really, but I thought Elijah Mitchell went a little bit early. Definitely for what I was predicting, I thought I might be able to get him, you know, at the turn of the – maybe even in the fifth round. I think that's where I was seeing a lot of mocks with him going. And he went right. very into the third, which was a little bit interesting.
I did just count, and we had 17 running backs drafted in the first 30 picks.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but, in my opinion.
But I think, yeah, for the most part, I think we're all pretty prepared for that. I think Leighton, you did a great job of solidifying that running back position. I think John did too with his ETN pick in the third round, Breece Hall in the fifth round. I was a little sketchy on my running backs. I'm still not super comfortable with my room right now, but I think you guys anticipated that. And the joy in that is you get to kind of those fifth through eighth rounds are just prime for wide receivers, which looks mm-hmm. like we all kind of had our heyday with.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely interesting. I knew I was going to go running back just because I was at the end of the first with the turn, but it was definitely very interesting how it all, you know, kind of fell. But yeah, I definitely think what we've been preaching all off season and pre-draft process has been pretty accurate. Besides the fact, my only tip probably would be if you like a running back at a certain point, you're like, oh, I think he could fall to me. He's probably not going to fall to you. So I would definitely draft him if you can.
I think that's like such a good tip of advice, honestly. And I think you did it very well, Leighton. I think you did too, John, with, I'm thinking of the DeAndre Swift pick. I mean, I know it's your first overall pick, Leighton, but you decided DeAndre Swift was a guy that you honestly didn't want to live without. So you kind of, you could say you reached on him, but you got him at eight. I saw him kind of going around like the 12 to 14 range. You said, I'm not even going to risk him getting picked up by somebody else at the turn. I'm going to go ahead and grab him and live with whatever happens after that. So I think that was great. John, you got ETN. You said you may have got him a little early, but you're confident and comfortable with the pick. So I think that's probably the best thing you can do. A lot of times I fall victim to the ADP game, the ADP trap. And I think that, you know, there's four picks between me and this guy, or there's going to be six picks between me and, or between my next pick and this guy going, I think I can get my, this one guy here. Hopefully he'll come back around. It never works that way, or very seldom does. So go get that guy that you won and have your eye on. Don't let yourself fall victim to that, counting the best available or ADP. I think that's a good little piece of advice.
I think a perfect example of that is Chase Edmonds, because he's going like so far down the draft board that you kind of have to overpay for him. And I ran into it in my work league where I was like, man. So I think I ended up taking Michael Thomas instead of Chase Edmonds, because I was thinking Chase Edmonds could completely flop. Do I really think he's going to? No. But Chase Edmonds could totally flop. And if he does, he's essentially a worthless running back that, you know, you're probably going to drop after like the fifth week, maybe. Like, I think that would be the end of my string. If he hasn't had a top 15 fantasy performance by week five, I would probably be on the verge of dropping him. But Michael Thomas, he has such an opportunity in New Orleans that it's like, you know, and a bomb of a quarterback with Jameis Winston. There's just so much more upside, I think, for Thomas. But then Chase Edmonds is a running back. So if you're fighting like that and you really want the guy, just take the risk on him if you believe in him. I would rather lose with the guy that I believe in versus taking, you know, the consensus favorite and getting third place. Or, you know, totally. I mean, obviously if you win a championship, that's a different story. But you're walking a very fine line, and that's the most frustrating thing ever, when the guy that you believe in still pops off and you didn't take him, like in one of those later rounds where the pick probably doesn't matter that much anyways. That's the worst.
No, I definitely agree. So, yeah, any closing thoughts before we move on to the Dynasty rookie draft we did actually last night.
I'm content.
Content, Nate?
I'm pretty content. I mean, did you guys want to talk any kind of how you thought the tight end position went? I thought that was a little interesting how maybe Leighton, you played that tight end game for a while. But yeah. I didn't know if you had any kind of comments on that.
Yeah, no, I definitely waited. Obviously, like I talked about, the Andrews Kelsey pick in the second was kind of surprising, but then we didn't see another one until the fourth round, beginning of it, when John took Pitts. That kind of started a little bit of a run, not a quick run, but like over the next couple of rounds, we had Kittle, Waller. Where was he at? I just saw him, but somebody else got taken too. And then after that, it was just kind of the guys that everybody doesn't know how they feel. Like, man, I got Hockenson. I took Dallas Goedert. You know, Knox went too. But and Zach Ertz also went. I was really tempted to wait for him. But I never drafted Hockenson. But to get him in the 10th round, I was like, okay. But it's definitely really interesting because I think a lot of people waited. Because, like, I feel like there's always, like, a run, like, oh, you know, when Kittle goes, you know, after Kelsey, then Waller and, you know, Mark Andrews would typically go after. And so it's definitely interesting to look at it this year and just kind of see what happens with it. Because I'm probably going to wait in every single league unless somebody just falls in my lap just because of the depth. So don't be afraid to wait on tight end because there's even – I was just actually looking in the amount of – players I have like on alert for on tight ends. I think I have like five of them just to see how they do after week one. So
We've kind of talked about that one for a long time. Really. We've covered well that the tight end group is much deeper this season than it's been for the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you guys, sorry, what player are you most excited about as like a sleeper pick? Like after, let's say round 7 or 8, what guy that you threw on your roster are you most excited to watch?
On my roster?
Yeah, John didn't have any picks after that point, so it might be tough for him. But after you said the 7th, 8th round?
Yeah, so, outside of, like, let's say, like, the top 6 rounds, where I feel like that's kind of your meat of the draft, everybody else you're kind of taking more of a flyer on.
Probably yeah. Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, that was a good pick. I was going to say mine that's, like, low-key sneaky is, like, Rhamondre Stevenson. I got him in the 8th. I didn't think I had to pay that high for him, but he's been a guy I've been circling a lot because Damian Harris has been, like, okay in the NFL, but heard Rhamondre is going to get the passing volume and everything. Nate, I saw you were interested in him earlier today. Yeah. So I definitely like the upside. And I mean, if Damian Harris gets hurt, he's a top 6 player every week. But
that's ironic. Nate's interested in both the guys that we named.
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
Great. Nice think alike. How about that?
Like we did a podcast together. And then the other one. And then the other one is Trey Lance, but I've talked enough about him. I got him in the 11th round. I was almost tempted to wait even longer, but I was like, I can't do it to myself. I need him on my roster, so I kind of reached that way. Nate, did you have one?
Yeah, I had a couple. I would say probably my top guy would be A.J. Dillon. I got him in the 7th round.
Snake.
I passed on a couple people we've already talked about. Chase Edmonds and Rhamondre Stevenson, both guys that I really liked at the running back position. I had them in the same tier, but I went ahead with A.J. Dillon. I'm very hopeful there. I think I'd say cautiously optimistic with how he could go off this season. But I'm very excited about that one. And then I would say my last one is, honestly, it's probably Kadarius Toney. He's got a guy I've been circling for the last probably 3 weeks or so of doing this. I got him the 10th round. Pretty excited about him. I think he could emerge as hopefully the one in New York. Not that that's saying a whole lot, but I think he has some legit playmaking ability. We saw it in a very short or limited time last year, but he's a fun guy to watch.
Yeah. So let's quickly move on to our dynasty rookie draft. We just want to talk briefly about this because it was the first one I've ever done. And so I think having some advice going in would be, you know, nice just to see. John, what was like your initial takeaway from it? I know you didn't really have a lot of skin in the game, but just you got to observe a lot.
Yeah, I didn't. I think I realized how valuable late picks are. Like, don't get me wrong, first round picks, you know, are great. Second round picks are great. But I really value the third round because what I – and this is kind of – I wanted to bring this up in the redraft segment, but it's so true for Dynasty too is what I realized. It's almost nice in a redraft league when your bench is horrible and you can actually go out and take the guys who it's like, I really think that they could blow up this week. And if you have that open flex spot and you throw in like that one guy who you believe in the matchup against, you know, the Falcons or the Texans that you think could get in the end zone and actually. So my first pick was at the first pick in the third round and I got Wandale Robinson. And that was, I mean, really for the, like, the draft as a whole, he was probably in my top 13 or 14 guys. So to get him all the way at 21, I was super happy that he fell all the way down to me there. So I think that opened my eyes. It's just, you know, you can still get great value in the third round.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. No, I definitely agree. It was, I'd say this is one I didn't really think about in the rookie draft compared to like a redraft is, if a guy's falling what you think he's falling, go try to get him. Because, like, George Pickens went 203 for us, and I really regret not trying to trade up to 202 to get him. It's just, honestly, I didn't really, like, cross my mind that hard for some reason. And then that player took his pick really quick, so I didn't even have a chance to talk with him. So, just kind of putting some feelers out there and maybe getting some trade discussions going earlier is always good. If there's a guy you like, just being like, hey, what would it take to go here if, you know, a player I like is there? And just kind of going from there. Nate, did you have anything?
Oh, not a whole lot. You guys kind of hit it on the head. Really, no. I mean, there was some movement in the first round that I thought the big one that I saw was Jameson Williams getting picked at 4, which I totally agreed with. I liked him probably at the 3 spot, honestly, there. You could have made a case for Ken Walker if he was healthy, but thought that was a little bit interesting. Honestly, shout out Connor. You killed this rookie draft. I only had one. No, I had 2 picks. I had a 109 and a 409 this year. I was pretty happy with Sky Moore falling in my lap. He's probably somebody I just throw on the taxi for this year. Hopefully he's ready to go, get some involvement this year, but can hit the ground running next year. But no, honestly, there weren't a ton of takeaways for me in this one. I agree with John. I think the middle second round and third round are just you should kind of hold those picks a little bit closer to your to your vest pocket instead of kind of – I mean, I think it's easy because those guys aren't getting a ton of hype out of the NFL draft. Typically, they're going in as, you know, a wide receiver 2 or 3 or a backup running back to the teams you're getting drafted by. So they're not getting a ton of attention. But in a lot of cases, you can see a clear path for them, you know, emerging as a star, if not in the year that you're drafting them, possibly down the line. I really liked Connor's Christian Watson pick. I think we haven't heard great reports out of Green Bay's camp with the rookie wide receivers, but if you can get a guy who's going to be with a phenomenal quarterback for the next 3 or 4 years, I mean, I think that's a great thing to go for. Mm-hmm. If you're indifferent on players and don't know anything about their skill sets, I would say maybe favor a team that has good quarterback player, has a historically good offensive scheme. So that's kind of my 2 cents. I thought everybody made some pretty good picks. Connor definitely killed it. Chase did a good job too, I think.
So as Clayton, I've been
Scott or John,
as I've been listening, I've kind of developed this question in my head to your guys' responses. Do you prefer the situational talent or the raw talent coming out of the NFL draft? So the raw talent I would put as like the George Pickens. The situational talent I would put as Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce, like, he, don't get me wrong, he was not like as highly touted out of college. He has some impressive stats, but George Pickens is somebody, and us as Chiefs fans, I think we were a little more exposed to him just because there's so much hype that he might get picked up by the Chiefs. But situationally, I don't love where George is in the depth chart. But for Damian Pierce, you know, he has that opportunity and a little bit of that, you know, track record from college that he could hit the ground running in the NFL. So they were taken back to back or one pick in between?
Within two picks,
yeah.
I think.
Yep. Yeah. So what do you value more there? You know, and you're also dealing with the running back wide receiver situation, and it obviously depends on your roster. But if you do, you prefer situation and volume or pure talent, hoping that that wins out? Nate, I'll start with you.
Okay. I think it's very, I think it depends. I think it depends a little bit on what your roster's made up right now. Like, I think where I am, I think George Pickens would probably make more sense. You know, I don't think I'm going to be one of the top four teams competing in our dynasty this year for a championship. So I think I would prefer to take George Pickens, who I think is the raw talent, who honestly, I think we've all kind of had this conversation before, might be the most talented receiver from this class. It does stink that he's going to be behind Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson for this year, maybe next year. Who knows what happens with those guys, but that is unfortunate. And you're probably not going to get a huge contribution from him this year. Damian Pierce, on the other hand, that one's interesting. I think something else that I've found myself doing more, and I think you guys have kind of gotten in my head about this, but looking at the draft capital that teams spent on players. So I think Damian Pierce was like a fourth or fifth round pick. So, I mean, that's I wouldn't say an expensive pick. So I don't think the Texans, I don't think the Texans are locked in to him for several years, I would say. I don't think they're going to be super hesitant to move on if another great option comes along. So I think he makes sense. If you're trying to win this year or next year, I think he's a pretty good option there. But I think that's a question that everybody needs to kind of ask themselves when they're drafting. I don't think that's the right answer, what I just gave. I don't know if there's a right answer. But
I think that's a great answer, honestly. I think that's a really interesting, you know, viewpoint to have on that, is the draft capital that went into them in the actual NFL draft. Layton, do you agree? Do you have a different take?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree, because one thing that's interesting about the running back position for Dynasty is you've noticed in the NFL, GMs are basically not valuing running backs nearly as high. And so, like, we're getting less and less first-round running backs. Like, obviously, this year we didn't have any. But if you look at, like, for fantasy football in redraft leagues, if you look at the top guys, I mean, not very many of them are first-round picks anymore. Like, McCaffrey is. Najee is, but like Jonathan Taylor wasn't, Derrick Henry wasn't, Jondre Swift wasn't, Alvin Kamara wasn't. These guys were all day two picks. And so as long as, I think for running backs, if they go in the, it was always, I think, well known, if you're like a day one or two pick as a running back, you're going to, you know, have more value and you're going to be kept around longer. But since the position's been devalued, I think a guy like Damian Pierce in the fourth round, I almost view that as like a 10 years ago, a third round pick, for example, or like Breece Hall in the second, it's probably like a later first round pick, you know, 10 years ago. So, you know, it's kind of not as easy as just being like, oh, he's a first round pick. Yeah. But like, do you know how many receivers are getting taken in the first round compared to running backs? It's like the amount is just like grown so much. So I definitely agree with Nate, because, you know, the one thing about Isaiah Pacheco that I don't like is he's a seventh round pick, right? Like, if the Chiefs draft Bijan Robinson next year in the first round, first of all, I would be, like, mad, but, like, really excited at the same time. But
I was like, wow, I don't know what this is about to be.
That was a lie.
No, I would be. I'd be upset because, like, I mean, we drafted Clyde in the first round. Yeah. Guess where Clyde got, you know, guess what Clyde's done? Basically nothing. So,
he catches so much hate. Nate and I are still truthers on Clyde.
Still am a truther on Clyde, but it has not come without its frustrations at time. And that was something else I kind of wanted to talk about just as like an example of this discussion. Clyde was a first round pick. I would agree with you, Layton. I think first and second round picks, I think they're just going to get more chances. I mean, it's more of like, I think if Clyde was a third round pick, I think they probably might have moved on from him at this point, or they may have not given him so many chances over and over again. Clyde's also been hurt, but if Clyde was a fourth round pick, I don't think they stick with him for this long necessarily. No. I think they look for other options, but that's the thing that I was kind of thinking of with like the Kenneth Walker and like James Cook and stuff. Like, those guys, at least Kenneth Walker, not in a great situation in Seattle. He's hurt right now. But I think since they invested so much into him, he's going to get opportunities for like the next 3 years, even if he doesn't pan out. Or you're going to have a very long time to see what he develops into, which is, depending on what your situation is with your dynasty team, that may or may not be the right option for you.
Yeah. I mean, I'd definitely go with – I think personally for fantasy football, I go with talent because, I mean, Christian McCaffrey, when he was the number one overall player in fantasy, did the Panthers even make the playoffs? Like, I don't think they did. So, I mean, it's kind of an interesting scenario because teams that are better score more points. So I'm not saying, oh, Breece Hall shouldn't draft him because he's on the Jets, right? And the Jets are typically not very good. Mm-hmm. But, like, his talent and his draft capital makes it worth it. He'll have a lot of opportunities. So it's kind of an interesting thing to balance. That's for sure. But
I'll phrase it a little differently than you just did, Layton. A trend that I've seen. And this is more focused towards redraft, I think, than dynasty. You can consider it in dynasty, but I wouldn't just totally look at it this way. I like drafting the best players in the worst divisions. And like they typically seem to be a much safer bet than like a Mike Williams in an AFC West. And a lot of people like Mike Williams this year. I'm not really a huge Mike Williams fan, but you know, I can't get on board with that. But if you offer me DJ Moore in that division in the NFC South, like holy cow. I love the prospect of DJ Moore, and situationally, he has a worse quarterback, but he's in an easier division, and he's the number two option on the offense, and Mike Williams is the number three option on the offense, but I don't know. I think DJ Moore just has such a more positive light around him than Mike Williams, but you know, that's just my opinion, and I'm not a big Mike Williams fan, but still, not to get off topic.
That's fine.
But I think that was a really good question, John. And I don't think there's like – I think it depends. I mean, that's what it boils down to. Sorry to be indifferent, but I don't think I'm always going to draft the best raw talent. I don't think I'm always going to draft the guy with the best situation he's put in. I think it depends. Like I think this is very early in this draft here. Actually, John, you gave a great example with the Damian Pierce, George Pickens. I think you could even throw Christian Watson in that group.
Or Sky Moore, you know, like.
Or Sky Moore, yeah.
I mean, exactly. He's a guy that, honest, like, let's just be honest. It has nothing to do with Sky Moore's talent and everything to do with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Completely.
Great situation.
If George Pickens was there, I think George Pickens would probably be taken a little bit higher than where Sky is going right now. But it has every situation that Sky Moore is in. And the fact that he was a second-round pick.
And he'll be with Patrick Mahomes for his career as long as in Kansas City.
Right. And, like, you know, I mean, situationally, again, the biggest threat to him for targets in the future is, well, it's obviously Travis Kelce. Beyond that, it's MVS.
Mm-hmm. And like MVS might not be there by the time Kelsey's gone too. Like, so it's
right. Like, yeah. It's situational, it's situational beyond this season. You know, you have to consider like what those contracts look like for the team that you're drafting.
Yeah. And the crazy thing about rookie drafts in a dynasty league, a lot of people like expect immediate results. You have to like be patient. Like, I mean, Austin Eckler didn't do anything for like his, well, I shouldn't say that. He didn't do like much in terms of fantasy for his first like three seasons. His fourth year, he like popped, you know? Yeah. So
Layton, there's an example. You were a truther on this guy. I didn't draft him. He kind of winded up on my bench at some point. I don't really know how, but KJ Osborne with Minnesota was a guy where it was like, okay, somebody's offering me, you know, like a late third round pick for KJ Osborne. I was like, I'm taking this right every time. And Layton, you were the one that said, don't take him. And this was a good situational kind of like evaluation of it where, you know, Adam Thielen's getting up there in age. Right now, Justin Jefferson's absolutely the number one guy on that team and will be forever, probably. Perfect. But KJ Osborne has a path to become the wide receiver two on a pretty good offense. In lining up across from Justin Jefferson. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to say KJ Osborne is as talented as Adam Thielen, but he's a guy that's wide receiver three right now on that team. Probably will be this year, might be next year. But if you can afford to like hold the guy like that, and it's not putting any limitations or restrictions on your team's performance, then like do it. And I would do the same strategy with a new rookie that you pick, unless he's just hot garbage.
Yeah,
and you're able to tell that right away.
So, I don't mean to keep dragging this one on, but if you guys
maybe we could have made it to episodes,
we could have. I the seventh pick in the third round last year.
Who?
I took a player. I'm not yet naming the player. I took a player with the seventh pick in the third round last year, who honestly, I had heard his name. I wasn't very familiar with him, but he's a wide receiver for the Texans.
Nico Collins.
Yeah. So, I knew you guys know who he is, but honestly, I looked at his age and his height. He was 21 whenever he was drafted. He was just barely 21, but he was 6'4". And I was like, the Texans wide receiver room is awful. Like, outside of Brandon Cooks, there's nobody there that I'm like worried about. And I'm not saying he has a huge like, you know, outlook for this fantasy season, but still, he's young. He's, you know, a big bodied wide receiver, and he's genuinely the number two option in that receiver room. So there's talent in the third round. It's more than, you know, what have I heard about this player? It's about, you know, what team they're on as well.
Yeah. I had one more question for you guys while we're on this dynasty rookie draft topic. Do you guys draft, I don't want to say best talent because John just kind of used that, but are you taking kind of like best available, or are you drafting for positional or like positional needs? I should say, what are you typically doing?
Again, this, I feel like this also kind of depends on your roster, right? It's kind of like the actual NFL draft. Like, if for some reason, let's just say the Chiefs have the number one overall pick next year, right? They're not going to take Bryce Young. He might be the best prospect, but like we don't need him. So when it comes to my example, I took James Cook at the end of my dynasty first round, and I was between him, Sky Moore, and George Pickens, right? Those were my three guys I was thinking of. And I was like, my running backs aren't amazing. I mean, if James Cook blows up as a running back, that's way more valuable than if Sky Moore or George Pickens does. So that's kind of why I went with that. But I always tend to favor running backs just because they're so scarce.
Yeah, I would say running back in the second round is probably where I'll reach a little bit, because it's just, I mean, we've talked about it a lot, but young running backs are at very short supply in the NFL right now. So that would, situationally and positionally, that would be the reach for sure.
Yeah. All right. So, I just wanted to see what you guys are saying.
No, yeah, because, I mean, look how many – if you look at the draft board, which Nana, you haven't pulled up, look how many receivers went. Mm-hmm. And look how many running backs went, right? It's about – there's more receivers, but, I mean, if you look, if you read off the list of running backs, how many do you feel confident in? Like, really confident mm-hmm. in becoming something, right? So you have to almost – like, a running back is like you're just taking a shot and hoping it hits.
Yeah, and I feel like, I mean, that's – you should always consider the other side of that too, though. I mean, I think the receiver's a safer play.
Yep.
They're going to have longer careers typically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. A wide receiver too is probably going to be a lot more of a help to your team than a running back too. So,
right.
But no, you're right. It depends.
Yeah. Is that
I think that's all.
That went way longer than I thought, but that was a lot of fun.
The dynasty portion was interesting. Mm-hmm. really get the thoughts flowing.
No, I know.
Definitely.
But, well, hey, thanks everybody for joining. Hope this helps you with your dynasty, with your redraft. You know, I know it wasn't a lot of in-depth information, but I think at least dynasty, it was a lot of thought-provoking stuff. And even with our results from our, you know, main league that we have, just something to keep in mind as you go into your drafts that, you know, maybe you weren't thinking about. So if that's something that you got out of it, we love it. But we appreciate you guys joining us. Follow us on Instagram at @fantasy_chumps. And we will catch you guys next week. Good luck drafting this weekend.
Thanks, guys.